Okay, hello. It is Tyler Bryden. This is I guess week three of the DMZ. I don't know if I'm guess I'm always going to just call it DMZ week three. I should probably be putting some like some titles and topics around this. That's sort of the state I'm in. This is still very new and fresh to me, and so I'm thinking a lot about the DMZ, the transformations that it's given me already, and have sort of continued this journey of weekly documentation of everything that's actually going on. And I know in many ways doing this for myself, but I'm hoping doing it for people who are also following along in this journey, interested in DMZ, interested in startups, and really just trying to understand a journey from someone who is trying to build something. So I am standing today. This is different. Usually I am sitting. There's all different rooms in the DMZ, and came in here. This is actually Saturday, and usually there would be some spaces to go, but today someone was just walking by. But today it was busy. There actually someone else was doing a video shoot. I feel embarrassed when people look at me and I'm like filming a video, but here I am today, and other people are filming video, and they might feel embarrassed. So I am. The fact that I'm standing might means this might be shorter. Usually I get pretty comfortable when I'm sitting and I just seem to talk and talk. That, however, is not actually a promise. I can easily go on and I will move. You'll see me moving around, adjusting slightly so that I'm comfortable and I can continue talking. I have my camera right here, looking at you. And I have my laptop down here as well too. So I've got a little note pulled up, and really just trying to maybe work through a couple things on my side here. And if anything pops up in the meantime, I might actually write those down. And so you might see me get a little close to the camera. One thing that's sort of interesting, I'm actually going to be off the camera for a second here. I hope I brought it. I did. Got my water bottle. As I get a little closer, as you can see me here now, you can see a little bit of fuzziness. And the reason is because I actually don't have autofocus on the camera right now. If I have autofocus on the camera, basically info icons will actually pop up on the screen. And so what I have to do if I'm setting up the setup, which is OBS, Bluetooth microphone, Camlink 4K, DSLR camera. Then I am basically having to put it into manual focus mode. And that is perfectly fine with me. I've figured out how to do a decent setup. And for anyone who is recording video, recording audio, especially longer forms things, longer form stuff like I tend to do because I can't shut up. This is such a beautiful system. And after I'm done, instead of having to take this off a camera from an SD card, upload it into my computer, and then, if you're recording audio and video separately, merge it back together. I already have that bundled up into a beautiful MP4. So I'm very, very excited about that. It is start of February. February is a short month. We're in 2020. It's a very interesting time right now. And we had, quite a week. Weeks are, this acceleration that I felt in general in life has been pretty ridiculous lately. But now even coming down to Toronto, I mean, I think everyone's felt this acceleration. Information, politics, culture, events and worldwide events, things that are happening. So much of this is actually coming so quickly. So as I've, adapted to that, I've also catalyzed that even further by taking place in this DMZ program where people are definitely moving very quickly. People are hustling. There's great discussions being having, and there's a beautiful community here, but you can definitely tell there's a sense of busyness. There's a sense of urgency, and that's actually something that I am quite happy to be around because I can move at a pretty quick pace myself, and I want to be with other people who are moving at that pace. One thing to always check for myself right now, these Rode microphones, they are absolutely beautiful. Bluetooth, very, very happy with them. I have had a couple instances where I have not charged them enough, and I'm actually getting just a little bit, complaint Rode. Sometimes my power button, it's not working that well. So when I'm going to turn it off, it's not actually turning off, and then I've found, a drained battery or something. So I'm just monitoring, making sure. And you've got to, as someone who is video, audio, recording, and then looking at notes and everything, I'm monitoring lots of things while also trying to communicate to you in an effective way. So, a couple things that I guess I think are really interesting. I'm going to write this down. one of my good friends, Sean Slade, he has a podcast, Rewild My Bio. He is a fantastic guy, and I went to Burning Man with him. So he put out a small snippet, a clip this week of myself and him doing a podcast together. I'm really excited for that to actually release. We had a great talk, the clip was really nice, talking about communicating in the real world and communicating online. And I will not overdo this because I've talked about it in the podcast, but I know right now, the idea that I was getting across in that clip that he shared of, people sort of podcasting almost as a form of self-talk therapy is a really fascinating thing to me. And, not only communicating in person in that room with Sean in the podcast, but also knowing that other people might listen to it. And, hopefully Sean's podcast gets even more popular. And more people listen to it. So even more things to actually consider. We did talk about Burning Man a little bit in that, and we had a lot of fun. I will be sharing that out when it actually does come out, and hope that, if you guys are interested in learning more about Sean and, why we should be integrating nature back into our technology and into our world. He is a very fascinating person to listen to. The founder of Booj Organic Kombucha. Just has a deep well of knowledge that I, I've learned, so much information from him. And not only that, at Burning Man, he made me feel very comfortable, very safe because of his knowledge of, the outdoors, of living outside and just, being in nature, especially in the extreme conditions of Burning Man in the middle of the desert. So something good for you guys to note. If you do like listening to me blabber on, I did a pretty good job at that on the show. And I think, there's some fun stuff involved in that actually as well too. So that's one note that I'm thinking about. A couple other things. I got a little bit of a list here. This week was, I started this week off in quite a stressful mode. I know if anyone has sort of followed the journey, I started a company in 2005 called, or not 2015. Well, it's too long, man. Done. In 2015, I started 6-5. That was sort of, just a sole proprietorship, but a marketing consultancy and something that I've been building for quite a while. And I have, pre-existing clients, on 6-5, ones that I've worked for, websites that I've built in the past that I'm still hosting, all this array of different services that I've done over those 5 years. And, in that time, I learned, so much amazing stuff, whether it's web design, web development, servers, front end, back end, not even that, marketing, search engine marketing, organic marketing, social media advertising, analytics implementation, Google Tag Manager, Google Analytics, like so much stuff that I actually learned. A lot of it was spent, late nights crying because things weren't actually working. But I've always, in a way, done my best to sort of like self-fund everything. And I've hired people. Sometimes I've hired people just straight out. Sometimes I've done a career focus program to subsidize them. And if anyone is looking for, an opportunity to hire someone and subsidize how much it actually costs to hire, like hiring people, employing people is such an expense, especially if you're hiring them full time. So, check out that career focus program. I think it's like, up to 80% of wages over 6 months. And that's an incredible, incredible opportunity for any employer, especially someone starting out, to give someone an opportunity and still be able to afford it as a business. So I, have used that many times to hire different people, different roles. And, in a way, I have done a lot of learning through that. One thing that I, realize in so many ways is that I love business. I love marketing. I love, all the stuff I'm doing. But I'm still, I still consider myself not that great, maybe of a business owner. I'm not a, in a traditional means, I don't find myself to be a capitalist. I like building things. I like innovating. I like helping people. But I haven't always, done that for, significant financial gain. And I've often, spent time working with people and helping people, so that, they can grow what they're working on without, for example, causing negative effects on their actual business. And so, I would like to, I would like to get better at being, you know, basically a business owner. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've moved into software, and because without guilt, I can monetize things. And there's a lot of investment that goes up front. But once we create a valuable software product or platform or technology, I don't really feel guilty about charging people for it, because I know we've put so much work and time and effort into it. Whereas with a service, you know, it is sort of, you're selling time, and time is, you know, truly it is one of the most, it's the most valuable thing we have. But depending on who you're talking to, people are often very good at, you know, scope creeping, for example, you know, saying, here's a project that I want to do. I have this much of a budget. Here's all the things that I need done. And then you start in a weekend, you know, okay, can you actually do this? Or we need to change that. And it's really hard to adapt and react to that. And that's something that I need to get better at, sort of standing up, you know, standing my ground if situations like that actually arise. I have a mark in my hand. I don't know why. And that's going to be something that I'm going to continue to do. You know, and in a way, I'm hoping that I don't actually have to do as much anymore, just because I am working on this software application that has sort of like a, you know, a fixed cost. You use it. Here's how much it costs. Here's what it does. And if you like it, then you can use it. Very excited about that. And if not, then you can find maybe another solution. Saying that, there's still a lot of work on our software to do. Our expenses are, you know, relatively high. I have, you know, there's right now there's 6 people, and a couple of people on contract who also help us out. So that means we have a pretty high monthly burn for how much revenue we're making, and then how much our costs actually are. And in a meeting this week, at the start of the week, I really sort of brought that to light to say, you know, here's what our costs are, here's what our expenses are, and here's the revenue that we're making, and we have to do some work here. As we've built out the technology and focused on the development of a product that has a lot of different applications, it's become clear that, you know, just because, well, I've known this for a long time, you build something doesn't mean people are necessarily going to come to it. And, you know, secondly, you need to actually have, you know, a significant market strategy, a significant, you know, path and ability to focus on what you're actually trying to do and who you're actually trying to, for example, sell to, who are your customers. For myself, I've been really fascinated with the technology in general. And so, you know, from the very start, I see a wide range of uses for everything we're doing. And, you know, I've talked about the software in previous version of these, it's on website and stuff, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but, you know, audio and video processing and extracting insights out of it, that's, you know, very, very fascinating to me. And I think in the world that we're, you know, in already and then continue to head in, that is only going to continue to be important. The information is going to continue to flow, and it's going to become overwhelming for so many people. And so we need to be able to pull out the valuable things from it. One of the, you know, big releases that actually came out, you know, talking about, you know, sort of competitors, is a beautiful platform by WebEx, by Cisco, that that they introduced their, like, sort of AI assistant. And they had bought a company called Voicea, previously Voicera. And, you know, what it does, listens to a recording, a conference, and you can basically use triggers to have, like, action notes and, you know, make highlights in the video. So, you know, if you talk about, you know, if I'm having a video call with you and I say, let's highlight this, it will highlight that part, spit it out in the recording, like, you know, with a transcript, and you can know the important parts when you're talking about the conversation. And that's, you know, such a beautiful application. And, you know, the sort of the application that I saw as well, too, of, you know, people are having hour-long conversations. At the end of it, we don't have the capacity to memorize or to remember most of it. So we need to get sort of the summary. We need to get the highlights. We need to get the notes out of it, the important key points. And so, again, that part, even there, you see, you know, a beautiful integration by Cisco, who has, you know, the technology to do that, they have the resources to do it, and the infrastructure and current users to actually monetize it and make that an effective application. So that's what I'm sort of, you know, working on myself, is they have, you know, WebEx conferencing, people are using it, and then they're plugging that in. And, you know, for myself, I don't have the same user base or customer base. And so I really, you know, in a short term, have to, you know, basically, figure out a way to, you know, have some quick wins here. So monetizing things quickly, and then also, you know, looking at the longer term of like, what am I actually trying to accomplish? And that can be a really difficult thing. And I think that's one of the things I sort of wanted to touch on today is that, that when you're in business and when you have, you know, employees, you need to make sacrifices in the short term to get to your long-term outcome. And for myself, I come from a marketing background. I've got the analytics piece. I've got the service-based work that I've done. And, you know, I have people who are often asking for that kind of work. That makes me, you know, very happy that you know, I have a good reputation in that space. I know that I have the ability to help in that regards. And I'm really quite... you know, talented at, you know, marketing, whether it's the communication side or whether it is the analytics implementations, the website design, user experience, whatever that is. I don't always have the resources to see it to fruition, meaning I can, you know, help someone with websites and design and marketing, but right now I don't have the team capacity to do the entire process. And If I did, it would be really, really expensive. And, you know, I was sort of a chicken and an egg situation for a lot of the companies and customers that I'm working with, because they the budgets are not as big as they need to be to actually achieve the results that they're looking for. And, you know, many people still in this day look at marketing as an expense that is, you know, is frustrating. And, you know, also saying if they want to invest in marketing that they expect the results to be, you know, relatively immediate and, you know, pretty incredible as well too. So there is sort of a conundrum in, you know, in the space. Everyone wants results right away, and say, you know, someone hires you for a search engine optimization. Any experienced person doing SEO knows that sometimes the results can take months, if not years, to actually produce the results that the customers and the clients are actually looking for. So how do we navigate through that? It's a really, you know, difficult thing to actually do. But anyways, I have people coming to me asking for that stuff. And really, it's about, can I, you know, plug them into that input stream and be able to help them in a way that's affordable for them, you know, produces value for them, and then is also, you know, viable, profitable for us as well too. And, you know, in the state that I'm also in, the time capacity, that it's, you know, not spreading myself too thin or spreading other members on my team too thin, because that's sort of a dangerous situation for us right now. And, you know, the goal here is that we need to fund the short term. And, you know, we have the capacity with our software to do that. It's a fantastic marketing tool. There's still some things to work on. And, you know, there are some competitors in any space who are doing a really good job. And you know, I have always built this software in a way for several reasons. It's a multi-purpose tool. But I think that there is the need to focus. And there's also, if I only have one life and the energy to put into something, where do I actually want to put that time? Where do I actually want to put that focus? And then how do I actually make that a viable thing? So, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to work through and, you know, admit to myself, admit to others, is that I, you know, as much as I love marketing, you know, it's, I love telling the story of important things, things that matter. Sometimes I get a little numb to, you know, marketing with some of the work that I have done or even am still doing. So, for example, I guess I shouldn't even really give an example, but like I know I was doing these Google Grants programs for nonprofits, and I'll just, you know, I don't, you know, specify any nonprofit or anything, but, you know, $10,000 a month in free advertising for nonprofits. Set up the analytics on their site, get them approved, write the Google ads, you know, hook everything up properly, spend about $329 a day, send hundreds of people to their website, and then, you know, spit out these, you know, beautiful reports that show, you know, where are the users going, where, you know, what are they doing, what's being accomplished, what were they typing in to find your website, and then click on the ad and then go, what did they go and do once they did that? What I was finding, though, is a lot of the nonprofits didn't actually have the capacity to be able to to, you know, either, for example, even understand that data, you know, but also be able to react to it and then implement the recommendations that are made. And so that's a really difficult thing. something that that, you know, as much as I loved working with nonprofits to do it, it also sometimes made me feel a little bit unfulfilled, that I was, you know, really working hard to try to give them, you know, this information that they could be acting upon, and, you know, nothing was actually changing. So, you know, my frustration with marketing, I worry about a bubble right now. There's an awesome guy, Swish Kasami, from TrueFan, who wrote a very impactful, you know, sort of message on LinkedIn, about a bubble in marketing. And I don't know how I feel. I just saw, like, you know, Google had like $132 billion USD in advertising revenue. But I do worry about, you know, this current ecosystem that we're in. Google ads are, you know, expensive. YouTube's expensive. Facebook ads are expensive. And most systems and channels actually are. And, you know, in many ways, it's actually dwindling down to a smaller group of companies that are actually benefiting that. Google, for example, and Facebook. You know, if we look at the advertising budgets, how much is actually allocated to that? I feel like it was a significant percentage of, for example, a startup or a small business's cost of their advertising is going right into the hands of these major tech companies. And that really worries me. I've talked about this before, but like how crucial Google My Business has become for local businesses. And, you know, a lot of the demands that Google is actually putting on these organizations can be pretty, you know, pretty hard to get towards. So if it's, you know, multiple posts a week, photos, blog posts, you know, all these things, you know, you need to be posting, you know, photos every 2 days in Google My Business. You need to be posting blog posts 4 times a week. Most small businesses don't have the capacity to do that. And I really feel I'm stressed out for them. I feel it's really tough for them to not have the capacity to do a lot of these things that are now becoming necessary for them to be successful. And I would say, you know, Rand Fishkin from Moz and from, you know, now SparkToro, he, you know, pointed out last year in 2019 that it was the first year that, you know, Google, if you made a search on Google, a click didn't actually go to a website. It, you know, someone got the answers from the featured snippets that are appearing on the pages or appearing on the search engine results. And so they don't have to go to the website because they already have the answer. Or, for example, people are now doing voice search. And so it's literally extracting snippets from the website. So, you know, Google is about giving people the information they need. And in that case, doing a little stretch, they are doing a fantastic job. But in many cases, it's also at the detriment to organizations who have worked so hard to build up these repositories of information that are extremely valuable. So I'm a little bit discouraged by the online marketing space. So like one of the things that people keep telling us when they see our platform is that you should be going after the podcasting space. You know, people are missing out on opportunities. There are, you know, they can transcribe the audio podcast and they can get better search engine results. I've, you know, focused on not being part of just this transcription entity. I think it's becoming commodified. I think that, you know, even transcription, you know, most, you know, savvy technical people can hop into an API and then transcribe things themselves. Other ones are using platforms like Anchor or, you know, Castos or other podcast hosting solutions that are already extremely fleshed out and focused specifically on that niche. And, you know, and frankly, I just worry about the ability to monetize podcasts, this podcast, you know, that I'm recording right now, this video broadcast is not making me any money. And I think most of us who are doing this, you know, I don't know if what we're doing, you know, again, maybe that self-talk therapy thing, but, you know, we are, you know, doing this just to communicate. We're doing this just to talk and to share how we're feeling. And that's not actually maybe I'm going to be wrong here because, you know, more people are podcasting. It's a beautiful way to communicate, and it's also a great way to actually advertise to people if it's in a natural flow of conversation. But it seems so saturated already. And, you know, everyone's mom, dog is podcasting now. So, you know, what if that's the case, most of them are not making money. They're looking for cheap options at best. And most of them aren't even doing, for example, transcription of their podcast because it's just a cost. It's you know, they're not getting a return on investment for it, and you know, they don't even, you know, maybe have awareness of the search engine rankings potential of doing these podcasts. And you know, even to follow up on that, what happens when, you know, Google just automatically starts transcribing that stuff for them? I don't know how that system will actually work and if it will, but you know, that is definitely actually a possibility. So you need to also be sort of looking on the fringes or looking ahead to the future and understanding, you know, where are these spaces headed? Where are you going to make an investment? Because that investment in one space can actually have, you know, long-term effects for your business and what you're actually doing. I am, you know, feel myself, if I'm just tapping into myself for a second. Self-monitoring. I'm, you know, I feel like I am, you know, talking fast. You know, I have been down in Toronto now for 3 weeks, and one thing I've noticed is that people are talking fast. I like that. I like, you know, one of sort of my criticisms of me speaking is that I, you know, I give out too much information and I speak too fastly. And that's, I, you know, in a way, I'm just want to communicate the, you know, the information that's coming through myself at the time. And so I, you know, have decided to, you know, maybe not hold back on the speed that I want to communicate. And, you know, if you like it, then you like it. And if not, then you don't have to actually listen or don't have to watch. And, you know, increasingly as I, you know, work, as I, you know, continue to try to grow a business, see the challenges within spaces and just being in this world in general these days, I have to realize I can't just, you know, always be, you know, trying to have everyone like me at all times. I need to do what I want to do. And, you know, I believe in my heart that I have good intentions, that I'm trying to accomplish some really good things. And, you know, part of that for me is, you know, trying to communicate quickly and trying to get the information I across to the right people. You know, bear with me as I actually work through some of this stuff here with you. So I'm looking then at finances, and, you know, I had sort of a stressful week with, you know, my team of saying, you know, we are in a spot where we are, you know, we need to get back to, you know, basically back to profitable. You know, sometimes we can be close to break even, sometimes we cannot, but every time that we are not, that means that there is money coming out of my pocket. And, you know, my pocket has given out a lot of money already. I, you know, absolutely have a complete belief in what we're doing and a lot of trust and faith in my team, but I also need to be cognizant of, you know, my own health, my own safety, and my ability to provide for myself. I am, you know, a single male. I do not have kids, so I have some flexibility right now, and I am, you know, trying to make an investment in my life in terms of skills, in terms of relationships, in terms of knowledge, and even building a company, and that enables me to, you know, take a little bit more risk, take a little bit more stress, but at the same time, you know, I have to be responsible. And I, you know, in many cases, I think, you know, the stresses that I'm feeling in this current state are relatively temporary. I know that I'm going to be okay. I know that I have, you know, knowledge within me that is, you know, valuable to many people, that I can, you know, sort of take advantage of and use to provide for myself. But, you know, the part that I was sort of getting to was, I am trying to, you know, I only have one life on this world, only one life. And I want to make the best use of it as I possibly can. And so how can I do that? I'm sometimes not sure. I'm unsure if helping people with marketing, helping with podcasting is the best way to actually do that. From the beginning, and I've sort of shared this before, you know, the visual vision of Speak, and Speak Again, sort of just a placeholder of a name, Speak AI, was that I was using audio and video as a self-analysis tool so that I could help improve my own thought process and improve the way that I communicate and try to understand myself better. And in a way, I've conflicted with the original vision that I've actually have. And that's something that I, you know, over these last 3 weeks has become clear to me, and something that I need to actually get back to if I'm going to, you know, want to continue on this journey, taking on this weight and the stress that actually comes with being a business owner, with being a founder. So how can I get back to the original vision of helping people? You know, I know marketing helps. I know storytelling helps. I know, you know, helping improve people's search engine rankings is a beneficial thing. It allows companies and people to, you know, get the word and the message out. And, you know, I try to support companies who are doing good things, or at least people who are good people. However, in some cases, I feel like it's also a bit short-sighted and bare minimum for myself. So this week has been spurred on a lot by sort of an encounter with the neurotech community here in Toronto. And so neurotech is focused on, you know, using brain technology, you know, brain interfaces to do just so many things to understand people better. And basically the neurotech conference, I guess the event, the monthly event, was held this month at Mann Labs, which was, which is owned by Steve Mann. And Steve Mann is, you know, considered the father of wearable computing, sort of like an Albert Einstein-like kind of creator, inventor, who has, you know, many patents. He is one of the people responsible for the Muse. So the Muse device, where you put it on your head, you meditate, and it gives you insights into yourself by, analyzing the wave patterns and what states you're actually in. It's incredible technology. A deeply, deeply intelligent person. One that I, in a short time, have now gained immense respect for. And, you know, in this Mann Lab, you know, this guy has, you know, worked, you know, been a professor at MIT. He's worked with Ray Kurzweil. He's worked with, you know, all these incredible people. And yet here he is in like a relatively humble abode, a workshop, a hacker house, not living this big flashy life, which I just think is such a beautiful thing and something I have, so much respect for. So, you know, the encounter with not only Steve Mann, but the other people within this neurotech conference has really catalyzed, just some internal development, but internal turmoil, internal conflict, internal focus to ask myself, Tyler, like, what are you actually trying to, accomplish here? And you know, one of the things that was really interesting to me was, you know, as I was doing, you know, as I've built Speak, the engine to audio and video record, and a lot of times, again, for self-analysis, I have always seen this gap. And this gap, I don't know why I have this marker, but maybe I can actually use it. Cool. What am I actually trying to sort of work on? In a way, is like I'm having a talk therapy session with myself, or, you know, what I hope other people will use this application, and they will also as well too. And I will be, talking. So, you know, talking. And then I'll sort of be done. I'll be done my ability to talk. I'll run out of words to say. And then I will, not talk for a bit. And then I'll start to think, I'll talk again. So, you know, that's actually what the recording will look like. So, what is happening here? That's one of the gaps that I'm seeing. And, you know, actually, I thought about this a lot. One thing that I was actually going to do was use basically a remover to, you know, basically clip that out. So, if you talked for a long time, then it would remove all the silent moments, and then it would just print the audio or the video that recording when you're actually recording sound to shorten the clip, and then you could, shorten the time to analyze, which would reduce your cost and then the processing power needed. But, what I'm also seeing is then we're losing out on actual information here as well too. And so that's, you know, something that I'm personally not very happy with. You know, if say I'm video recording this, you know, what are my facial expressions doing? Can I see stress on my face? You know, what's happening in this time when I'm not talking? So for a while, I've been trying to figure out how I could actually overcome that gap. And I didn't really have a solution. Well, I had thought of it, but it became so clear to me this week when I actually started to meet this neurotech community. And you know what they're using is EEG, so the Muse device, to capture these brainwaves. And you know what? And you know, again, I don't even know, you know, how much sucks, because you know I just want to share this and work through this. But this might be, you know. And again, anyone who's listening to this in audio, you can't see this, but I basically drew the waves of an audio recording in this part where it was silence, and I'm talking about the part where I'm not talking, but I'm still thinking deeply about the thought process that I'm actually having. So, you know, what I'm thinking here is possible with the EEG, with the Muse, is that, you know, as I'm talking here, we'll be recording, and what I can do is line up, and maybe there's some different, you know, peaks in this part here, but because I'm monitoring brainwaves, I don't actually need to talk to still get that information, and so I'm not actually losing this. So this is just, you know, extremely beautiful thing to me to know that I can see, you know, am I calm in this moment? What brain state am I actually in? This is, you know, this is, I think, you know, really, really actually incredible. And because, you know, this is lined up here, there's actually some really beautiful potential. You know, if you've seen our software at all, you know that we, you know, for example, you know, should I go higher? Should we go, you know, extract out, you know, so say, you know, say I say, you know, I'm happy here. I'm happy. I know, you know, this happened here. So I've got it in the, you know, the speech. So this is speech. This is brain. And if it fits, you won't really be able to see this probably, but, you know, just say, you know, this is actually video up top there as well too. We now have, you know, the face, we've got the voice, we've got the brain waves, and then, you know, down here, I guess this layer, it's actually the text. And again, I apologize for you who are listening to this, if you are, that you can't see this on video. I'll put this on YouTube or other things like that, so you should be able to see it if you really are enticed. I now have, you know, this all perfectly time-stamped, lined up together, and I can now see, for example, when I say I'm happy, you know, the brainwave that was triggered. I know the audio, and then I've got the video. And then I can really start to, you know, what, you know, one of my questions here is, what is, if I keep saying I'm happy, what is actually happening in this wave? Like, that's really, really fascinating to me. Is it the same wave every time I say I'm happy? If I'm less stressed out or more stressed out, how much does it change the wave? And, you know, is there a way for me, because of everything's timestamped, to be able to see when someone says I'm happy, be able to basically identify waves that signify that. If so, theoretically, and again, this is, you know, there is limitations within my knowledge here, but theoretically, you basically map out words that people are saying through brainwaves, and you could help them communicate, you could help them speak, and this is, you know, extremely fascinating for me. And you know, the tough part that I again am having to admit to myself is, like, this is kind of stuff, the challenges that I'm interested in exploring right now. The marketing is one thing, but this, you know, to me could be life-changing things, things that help people, for example, who can't actually speak verbally to be able to communicate, for us to get a better understanding of ourselves. And, you know, by either pulling, you know, like that WebEx Cisco example that I was using, I could basically, you know, use these as triggers. So, you know, my other question here too is, you know, if someone, if there's five different people and we get them to say the same sentence here, is I'm happy the brainwave, is it the same? I don't know. And I would like to understand. And, you know, again, different levels of stress, different people, different brain makeup, different genetics, cultures, how does that actually have an impact on this? You know, I remember a few years ago, I was 21, I had started to have my first psychedelic experiences, classic Tyler bringing up psychedelics. But I started to work on sort of problems like this, things like this. I was working on a system to evaluate if, basically a system that would I would evaluate if it was worth it to make a decision, basically. So, you know, if I was wanted to get dinner, what was, I still have this formula somewhere, but like you know, what was the better option? Was it to go to a fast food restaurant, to go to a restaurant, or go to a grocery store? And based off the time, the value of time, the cost, and then, for example, buying in bulk versus just getting one meal, what was the actual value? And, you know, because I was doing, you know, psychedelics at the time, and I was going through a little bit of a mental breakdown and crisis, a lot of those things got written off, and I really started to pull back from some of these thoughts and questions that I have, you know, work like this, because I was, you know, nervous and scared that people would, you know, judge me or think that I was crazy, basically. And, you know, the truth is, you know, even after seeing this week going to this neurotech conference, you know, the people who are allowing themselves to push themselves to this limits and ask crazy questions are the ones who are, you know, helping to contribute to the world. And if anyone has met Steve Mann, you know, he is an eclectic person. His place is eclectic. The inventions that he has are wild. And that makes me very excited. And that makes, you know, I in some ways I hurt because I don't have necessarily, I don't have the technical understanding for some things, but I have the theoretical understanding, and I have the understanding of the cultural importance, the significance for mankind. And, you know, I really hope I can have the capacity and get the resources to maybe sometimes explore some of these things. And so, you know, when I talk about finances, when I talk about marketing, I get sort of, I hurt sometimes. I want to work on big problems like this. And sometimes some of the stuff that I'm working on doesn't feel as significant as it should be. And so, you know, this next week I am mobilizing myself. I'm catalyzing, you know what I'm actually working on. I'm gonna stop using the word catalyzing, but because I don't think that's the right context. I'm focusing. I'm honing in. I'm refining what I'm actually trying to do. And you know, I look at things like this. You know, this is tough. How do I make money off this right now? How, like, this is research. This is, you know, things that, you know, might not be financially viable in the short term yet, you know, matter deeply to me. And, you know, I've talked about communication a lot, talked about understanding myself, helping people understand themselves, you know, a discussion with Steve about, you know, how we communicate with our internal dialogue within our head, especially if we have negative thought loops, if we have anxiety, if we have struggles with mental health. You know, all that is so crucial for us to be healthy and happy as people. And, you know, social, whether it's social isolation and not being able to articulate the problems that you're having, all these are some of our greatest challenges as people, and they're only going to continue, and we're going to see the cost in mental health, in people suffering from this stuff. I'm glad I got to use the whiteboard. It makes me very happy. And it was, you know, actually made sense. This is very interesting. I haven't actually drawn that out before, so I'm quite fascinated. And again, I'm sorry, I'll take a picture of it for anyone who is not, I don't know what a picture is going to do here if you're listening to this, but I'm going to take a picture of this for myself, and then I'll also share this as well too. So hello, this is my diagram. you know, I'm looking at a couple other things here just on those notes. I'm already, you know, as I said, it would be possibly be shorter. I was wrong. It was longer. one of the things that I'm focusing on, you guys are sick of this, is the psychedelics piece, because, you know, what is happening, this exact same context here, what is happening when people take psychedelics? What is happening when they do a microdose of, you know, psilocybin or LSD or ketamine or MDMA versus, you know, a macrodose? What are different dosages doing to different people? And if we can help monitor and assess people with the different inputs, and there are more inputs like, you know, heart rate variability and all these different things, then we have the potential to, you know, better understand what's, you know, why, you know, why do people feel so healed after they have a psychedelic experience? Why, you know, why we should be pushing forward for decriminalization? Why there should be more public awareness? You know, this stuff is so important right now in a time where we are so, you know, stricken by mental health, anxiety, depression, PTSD, and, you know, when traditional pharmaceutical options are actually falling apart. So I really am very passionate about this. And if I can apply this, you know, I can apply this research and this system to psychedelic research, I would be a very happy person. And so this week, I'm sort of trying to focus on that. And I'm talking to investors in the psychedelic space. I'm talking to people who understand the potential of these treatments, of these medicines. I think in general, you know, we talk about psychedelics actually being effective. I have, you know, this somewhere, I found it really beautiful. But like what, you know, when we talk about psychedelics, it's not like people are doing psychedelics every single day. It's about, you know, many things, the pre-work. So I don't know, I don't need to write this down, but I will because it's fun. Pre-work, you know, the dosage. We're looking at the, you know, setting, looking at, yeah, still works, you know, post-work integration. And, you know, many, even more layers to this. So, you know, what are you doing to prepare? What substance are you taking and how much, you know, where are you actually doing this when you, what is your mindset? Are you happy? Are you, you know, are you sad? Are you anxious? What state are you actually in? And then post-work integration as well too of, you know, do you have someone to talk to? Do you have support? You know, it's very important to integrate the experiences that you had on psychedelics. And I think that's where people fall apart a lot. I think this also comes back to this about the communication piece where people have these very overwhelming experiences and then don't actually know how to communicate them. And that was my detriment after my first psychedelic experiences, using them in a risky way without the complete understanding of how powerful they were, and then not being able to communicate that to people and not having anyone to do post-work integration with, and really just being diagnosed as someone who had, for example, a psychotic break and lost all touch with reality. And, you know, as I go back and assess that time, you know, I question how much is it like that? How much is the psychosis? How much is the detachment from reality? And how much is real? How much is true? And, you know, again, I can't underestimate the powerful impacts of some of the knowledge, the lessons that I learned during that time to make me who I am today. So I'm working on that. One person that I want to shout out to, who I met this week, Mike Wilner, who helped write the book Oversubscribed. He works for Amazon now, and they came to the DMZ and they sat down with us and we had an awesome conversation. And after, I went and watched the presentation that he had on raising capital and, you know, the ability for people to basically, you know, raise money efficiently. So many people say raising money would take 6 months. He says, you know, a good founder, an experienced founder could be able to do that in a month and a half. He talks a lot about, you know, 3-to-1. So, you know, for every investor that you're talking to, you should have 3 in due diligence, and it creates this, you know, creates this fear of missing out. It creates the anticipation that you're actually going to be a successful company. And, you know, now for myself, knowing that I might want to get out of This focus specifically on marketing, and to focus on psychedelics, to focus on neurotech, on basically digital therapeutics and mental health and wellness. For me to get the right people, for me to be able to, contribute to this industry, into this space in a meaningful way, I'm going to most likely have to take on investment. I'm going to have to raise some money. So how can I do that? And I just want to say, thank you to Mike Wilner. Oversubscribed is the book he wrote and the presentation he did. I've seen lots of people do talks on raising money, but by far that was the most impressive, articulate one that I've ever seen. Basically said, 160 investors should be, I think, I'm trying to think exactly why that number stuck out to me, but like he was saying, about you need to talk about 160 investors to have a successful raise. So, he also said another thing, again, I'm just writing down for fun now, 100%, not 100%, more, maybe more 80%. But of a founder's time should be spent on that. And right now I'm still servicing marketing clients. I'm still doing my services and I'm not spending the time on fundraising. And so I have choices to make, decisions to make, and priorities that I have to have. And it's hard when you are continuing to, for example, support a team and continue development before you've raised money. And I'm now seeing, companies talking about undercapitalization and that being the default and the failure of a company. And that's not something I want to have, especially with a baseline technology that we have that is really powerful. And then the things that we're currently developing, the things within our wheelhouse to be able to do. And, the stuff with this brainwave interface, BCI or EEG, we hacked into the Muse device with the help of Steve Mann and some of the team working at Mann Labs. And we're already able to monitor brainwaves in real time and be able to port that into our Speak product. So, that's pretty, that's optimism-inducing stuff to see how quickly you've been able to do that. And I talked about my present mode, I think in week two, maybe week one. But this present mode would be able to sync with your brainwaves and be able to basically display in real-time feedback, how you're feeling, how you're thinking. And I just think, what an incredible tool. And if anyone's used Muse before, basically meditate and... if you are meditating calmly, for example, the rain will stop. It will show like a leaf on the screen and the rain will stop and the birds will start chirping. And if your mind is anxious and wandering, then you will actually, you will start to get like rain. And I think even maybe thunder or it gets more intense and you can hear the wind blowing. And so you can start to use that real-time feedback to change the way that you're thinking. And basically adjust and get yourself to a calmer state through breath or through focus. And that's just, even having a couple experiences, that is such a beautiful thing and a powerful consumer product that, Steve McMahon and that team, they've actually built. Part that Mike talked about a little bit, slide decks. I hate slide decks, man. Something that I'm continuing to struggle with. I just can't seem to get everything that I want to do and I'm trying to articulate into, 10 slides and, outline with the markets and outline with, everything. Like I've got a pretty core, one down and I understand, what it, I guess it should be, but this doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel the right way to communicate what we're working on. And so I hope to overcome that. I hope to be able to do that. I'm supposed to be spending some time on that this weekend. And, to me, even the way that I've explained this, I hope you see, some value in what we're actually trying to do. And that it's not easy, as easy as like 10 small slides. So it's trying to tell that narrative. It's time to, improve what we're doing and how to tell that story and, gain the capacity and resources to be able to actually do that. Might be able to see I am, relatively tired as well too, stressed. That is part of this, and moving to a new city, having some late nights like that neurotech conference, and I couldn't fall asleep till like 2 a.m. because I was just so fired up by what I had just seen. It's really important for me to, control myself, the mental states that I'm in, and then how much, I'm sleeping and how well I'm taking care of myself, for example. I can get really, excited. I can get into, a manic state. I can get into a depressive state if I don't take care of myself. And, this week I was lucky. I got to go to the gym. I got to, take care of myself more than I have been in the last few weeks, but it's added with the additional layer of stress from the finances stuff that we went through this week, and then now almost more the worst is the existential part that I'm having about how I want to run my business and what I actually want to work on. So I'm going to continue to navigate through that. Hopefully. And I know I will. All this stuff is just temporary and things that I'm working through. But, I hope DMZ update week 4, I can be even more well rested and taking care of myself better, and have the capacity to I don't know, just be a little bit, I as I said, I was, talking fast and, trying to get back to maybe a more baseline. But again, maybe the baseline has just changed. Maybe all the insights that I'm gathering, maybe being inspired by this neurotech conference, maybe that has, changed me and transformed me into, a little bit different of a person. And that's just something that I actually need to accept. It's cold today, minus 13. Toronto's cold. Lost my one glove. Sad. I only have one glove. I don't think if there's anything else. This has been a good 56 minutes, hour I've been talking. So, if you have listened to this, if you watch this, if you watch me scribble on the board, good for you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I don't know if I could listen to this or not. I do usually, again, self-analysis, but, sometimes I worry that, in like many, maybe podcasters or whatever, are just throwing things out into the world and, conscientious of, first of all, are they worth, listening to or watching? How do people perceive them? And that's something I continue to try to understand. I will say with this, sort of diagram that I've drawn. There is, the application that I would like to see is actually when I'm speaking as well too. So what happened, I'm audio and video recording this. What I would like to do is trigger the EEG to start at the exact same time that audio, the video camera starts. And by doing that, everything's perfectly aligned like this. What happens when I'm public speaking? What happens when I'm taking a question, when someone's asking me a question? What happens when I'm what happens when I'm communicating with myself, when I'm sad, when I'm happy? There's a whole new information process or input that I realized I can actually uncover here, and that's extremely fascinating to me. I will be continuing to work on this. You might see some reflections in my messaging, in the way that I'm talking, the way that I'm communicating. One of the things that I did on LinkedIn is change my my profile to talk about how I'm working on, psychedelic technologies and communities to build a happier and healthier world. That right now is my mission statement. I am focused on the psychedelic space, but more than that, a holistic view of people that has come from some of these psychedelic experiences that I've actually had. And, again, people talking about their life transforming after those experiences, that has been true for me, and has allowed me to, see the world in a different light, different perspective, and then apply that, that new perspective to the work that I'm actually doing. So I have, updated my LinkedIn sort of little profile. I love LinkedIn. And then I added another section within my experience as well too. and even highlighted some of the domains that I have, those being sessions.ai, psychedelicmarketer.com, psychedelicresearch.ca. I think there's more, but those are the main ones. And then just tylerbryden.com, where I talk a lot about this. And again, the idea of, you know, a lot of my best work has come from on a Sunday, maybe taking a small microdose, sitting there listening to music. You know, how does music impact the brain is another big question. While writing down on a piece of paper, well, then speaking into a microphone, well, then typing on my computer, and all these inputs, you know, I would like to bundle into, you know, a final interactive, navigatable interface, so I can understand the session that I just had, and maybe some of the human ingenuity that actually just came out of it. And if I can help capture that for myself, I hope that I can then distribute that technology to other people so that they can understand themselves better and then capture their own ingenuity. So I think that's about it for me. I say that and then something starts, but yeah, I'm pretty tired. I'm gonna go back to my place in Toronto now, which is a 15-minute walk. It's cold. I'll walk. If you guys have any questions for me, please let me know. I don't know what to do with this. I'm gonna wipe this off the board, but you know, I'm trying to be careful of, this is information that I'm getting in real time. This is things that I'm dealing with right now. And a lot of people are, you know, if they have ideas or things that they're working on, they're going to try to keep that to themselves as, you know, intellectual property. And you know, maybe I'm making a mistake by talking so transparently about some of the things that I'm working on. But, you know, again, I don't think that many people listen to this or watch this. And by the time that they do, maybe it will be too late. I will have, made the move necessary to actually achieve these things. So I am, you know, Mike Wellner was, you know, did have a big impact on me this week. And, you know, I am looking for ways that I might now start to raise money, knowing that I don't like the shortcomings of the system that I'm currently operating in. And something, you know, I love my clients. Love working with them. And they're all great people. I wouldn't work with them if they weren't, but I need to prioritize my life and time if I'm going to want to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish in my lifetime. Okay. Thank you so much. This is DMZ week 3. I can't believe the transformation I've had in these 3 weeks. And I think that will only continue as I'm already meeting new people and having other experiences. Got some really cool stuff coming up next week. I'll just touch on this quickly here. It's sort of like a sprint with myself and sprint with you. I've got a presentation for Fanshawe and LEDC. So I'm going back to London and I'm presenting for the day, which I'm very excited about. I am meeting with the team from Collision. They're looking at maybe seeing if we could get a booth there and present. I am meeting with one of the mentors at DMZ, very smart one, Frank Urshan, who's going to help me with pitching and really combining all that stuff together. I've also got a meeting, a meetup at Google. I went to Google this week, Google for Startups, and they made a big announcement on, you know, the investment that they're making in Canadian technology and people right now. And that's a really fascinating thing to see. They also have Gradient Ventures, which is investing into startups. And that was just really, really fascinating to hear. And I'm excited to have made some contact there, and we'll see what comes out of that. DMZ has some amazing accelerator events, workshops that are coming up this week. I'm meeting with our entrepreneur in residence, Rokum, who is an amazing guy who owns Psychology Compass, and that's definitely a company worth checking out. And what's beautiful about them is they have a whole resource on psychedelics on their website, which just makes me fired up that he's the entrepreneur in residence that I got paired with. Getting together with a couple people. They've got DMZ Valentine's Day Tech Social, and Valentine's Day in general is coming up. So quite a week. I still have to figure out how to move out of my house fully. I've got some furniture that I need to figure out what to do with. And I got a lot of other things on my plate that I'm sort of working through right now. So I will get back to that now. I'll get a little bit of rest and I'll be back at it next week. And hopefully, continue this this process of recording, at least once a week, an update for anyone who wants to keep track of what I'm working on and what our team is working on. So thank you again. Have a wonderful week ahead. And I look forward to talking again soon.